Welcome, everyone, to STP Radio Live. I'm Rich Hand, your host, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about the 80s. I have the opportunity today to speak with our international keynote at the upcoming STP Con in New Orleans, Mr. Mike Lyles. Mike, welcome to STP Live Radio.
Thank you very much, Rich. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, not everybody will know you, which may be surprising to you. It would be surprising to me, but you're a senior QA manager at Lowe's Companies, but in your bio, it says you've exposed yourself in various IT roles. Now, I hope that's a typo, but you've been in IT for about 20 years. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I knew in the early years I wanted to be a programmer, and that's what I wanted to be when I was in sixth grade. I said, that's what I'm going to do with my life, and I'll never be anything else. And I didn't realize that I was born to be in testing, and that's what I realized years into it. But I've gone through all the various roles, which I think has made me very very flexible in working with the other teams, and I can know where they're coming from. I've worked in a development role for many years at Lowe's. I've been here on going to 20 years in September, and did development roles. I've managed development teams. I've worked in the PMO, program management offices. I've done. I moved into testing the moment we created a testing group here in 2008, and even before then, I was kind of doing my own internal testing groups for 3 to 4 years before that. We were doing automation testing and other things because I felt passionate about it. We just didn't have a formal team, and in this testing team now, I've moved all around this group. I've done functional test management, running the team there. We've done environments. We've set up QA mainframes, middleware systems. We've done data management, release management, all those different tasks. And I've recently moved in the last several months into performance testing, test automation, and service virtualization. And it's honestly, it's the most exciting part of what I've been doing so far to be part of that.
Well, Mike, we appreciate all the things you do here at STP and this upcoming conference. You've got such a full schedule. And just to add to all that IT experience you're talking about, you do a lot of leadership type speaking. You love to go out and mentor folks and help them to communicate the importance of testing. Tell us a little bit about what drives you to be in those leadership roles and becoming a speaker, a presenter, a mentor, and now, you know, a keynote speaker.
Well, I didn't really, if you'd have told me, you know, 20 years ago that I would be standing in front of audiences of people speaking at conferences, I would have laughed, because it used to be a running joke that when I was young, all you had to do was look at me and I would blush and turn red, and I didn't want to be part of public speaking and the Christmas plays that we had in the schools and churches. And, you know, I said, it's just not me. I'm scared of that. But I've grown to really like helping others. I love speaking with people. I love seeing the look on their face when they get what you're trying to explain. If I don't get that look, then that's even worse, because I feel like that I'm not doing my job as a speaker to portray that message to them so that they get it. I love to see the light come on and people say, I know what he's talking about. And I love the one thing that I caught at STP more than any other conference was people were coming up in crowds after my speaking and saying, I have a question. I want to clarify this. I want to speak about this. Let's talk about it. And it was amazing. I realized my passion right away. I got involved with STP by being someone who was interviewed for Ask the Tester. Matt Heuser pulled me in and interviewed me for that. And then he was moving on to some other things, and I took that article over from him, and I've done 3 articles since then. And that kind of just skyrocketed my career with you guys, and I can't thank STP enough for what you guys have done for me. I mean, I went from speaking 2 to 3 sessions at the first conference in Miami in 2012 to speaking multiple sessions, the next one in April in San Diego, and then in Phoenix I got to speak a tutorial and do a whole day tutorial, and then I was just I was humbled by the fact that you guys asked me to do a keynote. And the moment you guys asked me that, I knew exactly what I was going to speak on, because I was actually riding down the road when I got the email and the note from Rich, you know, from you saying, this is what we want you to do. I was listening to 80s music thinking, there's a lot of things that we can learn from 80s music and the lyrics in 80s music about testing. And so it was perfect timing.
Yeah, it's, you know, it was awesome to see the passion, and that's really how we at STP try to engage folks. When we see so much passion, we know that's contagious, and right away we knew that you were definitely a test pro to tap the talent, and we are so happy that you're this involved in STP. So let's talk a little bit about, I opened up with a little Hall & Oates there from the 80s. You've come up with this idea for a keynote, which you'll be doing on Thursday morning. What the 80s taught me about testing. Tell me what really drove the concept, and just give us a little bit of a highlight of how you're going to connect the 80s with testing.
Okay. Well, I've always said, and everyone that knows me knows this, if I could go back in time to any time of my life, it would be in the 80s, as long as I could take my iPhone. And the one thing that, which I can't live without that now, but the one thing that I've noticed was there were so many different things that we learned back then. I mean, there were so many great movies, when you think about musical groups, you could almost name all the groups on one sheet of paper. Now today you have so many different groups, it's just out of control. You can't keep up with who's next. And, you know, groups stayed around for 10, 20 years, and you could follow them today. They're in and out tomorrow. But there are so many great lyrics. The things that started hitting me when I was thinking about the 80s was, you know, "We're Not Gonna Take It." Great song. A lot of people, you know, followed that. I was trying to think, how could I relate that to a testing group? You know, how do you handle that situation? I thought one that was really fitting for a testing group was, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." You know, we are still looking for the problem. Definitely one that we always have to clearly mention to people is, we didn't start the fire. You know, it's been burning since the world's been turning. And as a testing organization, looking at the development team, we didn't break anything. We found it broken. And I think that's a discussion that we need to have with our peers, and, I mean, with our development teams and the people that are working with us, is we're here to help. We're part of the solution. I started out this keynote. I was thinking of calling it "What's Love Got to Do with It," and have the "it" be IT, and talk about how that you really got to have a good relationship with your teams. I mean, if your development team is feeling confrontational, and that you're in an audit role, and you're finding things wrong with everything they're doing, there's always going to be that conflict. But I mean, it's never going to be perfect. I mean, this is our job. It's the same as, I never like to see a state trooper driving by me on the road when I'm driving, you know. But you have to respect that role and what they're trying to do for you, and they're trying to help you, you know, be better. So I think that was one. I started looking at different things. I thought it was very fitting. Ronald Reagan was our president from 81 to 89, and one of his most famous quotes was a very short quote, said, "Trust, but verify." And I thought, you know, too many organizations trust the product and trust it, but they don't verify that it's really working and ready for production. So I've probably got enough material to do a whole day keynote. I know you don't have time for that, but I'm sure we can turn this into something even more after the keynote that we could share with others. But I mean, I've got pages and pages of material that I've studied over the last several months on just, because it started out as songs. I was just going to do it as songs. And we talked about that, you know, Rich, about 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. But it's become more than that now. I've seen that there's quotes from movies. There's things that actually happen during current events. I mean, I think it's going to be, and I also tried to make this, for those of you that are coming to the conference, don't lay out that morning. It is a Thursday. I thought it was fitting that everybody that tweets and messages today, their pictures are all Throwback Thursday, TBT. And we're doing this on a Thursday, so we're going back to the 80s. And I think that my goal is to try to make this very entertaining for the people who lived in the 80s and experienced the 80s. And, you know, and you hear songs like, you know, "We Didn't Start the Fire" and "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For" and stuff like that, and movie quotes from Back to the Future and things like that, that it kind of it resonates and it brings back memories. But then you've got people who, you know, the generations are changing, and you've got people who were born in the 90s that are now in testing, that are going to be at this conference. And so it's a struggle. It has been for months, and I'm getting to it, you know, over the last couple of months. I've kind of rounded it out to make sure that people that it's more a history lesson for people that didn't live in the 80s. So I think all around I'm excited. I'm hopefully going to be as excited to present it as people are going to be to hear it. And I've got some great props, got some things that we're going to have during the keynote that I think are going to be very entertaining and eye-opening.
It should be. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. One of the comments you just made about the 80s is how people follow bands. My daughter's a real she loves music, and she said to me one day, and she's 18, she said, "Dad, you know what? You grew up in such a cool time, because back then the bands were really cool. We don't have any of that anymore." And I said to her, "I'm not sure you don't have it, but the outlets for bands were very limited. So, you know, you didn't have all this social media where bands could self-produce." And yeah, to some degree, that was a good thing. I think it's great, being a musician myself, having all those extra outlets, but I think it has stolen a little bit of that defining culture that music has played over the many years of when we grew up. It's different for this generation. So I love the comment you made there, Mike.
Yeah, I think we, in every generation, it gets less and less attached to it. You know, everybody liked the Beatles in the 60s, you know, and in the 70s, you liked a certain set of groups, but mm-hmm. it just got more detached as we moved along. And, you know, I listen to a song on the radio today, and tomorrow it's gone, you know. So
yeah, absolutely. So you're doing,
what does the fox say?
Yeah, that's the value of information is fantastic. There's more information, but it does get diluted very quickly. So you're doing a lot of things at the upcoming conference in New Orleans. One of those is you are doing a session on metrics, the good, the bad, and the metrics. And you're doing that with, let me just make sure I get it. I know it's Jay. Let me just make sure I... Yep, Jay Phillips, and looking forward to that. You know, metrics is one of those controversial subjects for some folks in the community, but I'll tell you, it's one of the top selected sessions of the conference so far, so obviously it's a hot topic. So what are you and Jay going to focus on in that presentation?
We did we were working with XBOSoft and did a webinar with them about, it's probably been 6 months now, 4 to 6 months ago. And one of the things that we found was we actually titled that webinar "The Good, the Bad, and the Metrics," and a lot of people joined that, and we learned a lot from that. And we said, this really should be more of a hands-on, in-class course that we do as a session. And what we're trying to look at is, you know, everybody talks about it, and when I talk to some of the folks who really are passionate about metrics, either way, because I've got friends all over the testing community, and I can't thank them enough for the inputs they give me, and I'm kind of the guy that's kind of pulling bits and pieces from all of these folks. You know, there's the guys that believe that you can't live without metrics. There's guys that believe that metrics are crazy and you shouldn't be talking about numbers. You know, if the CIO comes to you and says, "What's the status of my project?" you're not going to say 7. Keith Klain's credited with that quote, and I love it. But I think one of the things that, you know, and then I talked to Michael Bolton, and he's got a lot of inputs there as well on that. A lot of times we just spend our time talking about what is good, what is not good, and what is, you know, how do we do metrics? And we forget to look at the fundamentals of, you know, why are we doing metrics? What are we trying to convey, and what are we trying to tell? And I think the thing that Jay does very well, and And I've learned a lot from her company that she's working with. She, her own company, she's the CEO, is she has dashboards and some things that you can use that will keep people away from just falling into the trap of, here's the project, let's count how many test cases we have because and how many we have left to do. And you know, and I think you're going to see a lot of heads nodding in that presentation when we do it, because when we start talking about and collaborating with the team, I mean the people in the class, you know, what are some of the ones that you see that people are misusing and misunderstanding? There's going to be a lot of collaboration, and I think a lot of people are going to agree. We use these in our company, and we don't see why. And then we want to also share with people, how do you change that? You know, how do you be that agent of change to start people thinking in a different direction so that we don't measure productivity a certain way? I mean, we look at measuring metrics on productivity of how a person does their testing. And I've seen companies do this and say, you got to have 15 cases written a day and you got to execute 20 of them. And then you see people taking the easy ones so they can meet that metric. Well, that's a metric driving behaviors that is bad to the company because you're not doing the right things for the testing organization and the company. So I think this is one we could also do a tutorial on for a whole day. I mean, I think this is going to be a breakout. We've talked about this. There's so much attention to it. I want to probably roll this into my webinar series that we're going to do with STP down the road. And you know, we've been talking about doing maybe a quarterly or every other month doing this thing that I like to call something like testing the art of war and looking at all those different areas where people disagree. You know, certifications. How many people are listening right now that just believe certifications? Why do we do that? And then there's other people who think if I didn't have a certification, I wouldn't be, you know, and whatever side you're on in the argument, I want to make sure that these webinars that we do down the road, I would love to pull people into that where we've got two people. One feels one way, one feels the other. And when you come and listen, you may pull bits and pieces from both of them. But you'll leave there with an understanding of kind of how two different sides see a topic.
I'm really excited about that series, Mike. I think it'd be very valuable because, as you said, it's not about winning the argument. It's about pulling out pieces of that argument that work for you and your organization. And that's why it's always so difficult, some of those topics you suggested, is because for some organizations, they're important. For other organizations, they're not. It revolves around culture. So if you can bring both sides of the argument, people have an opportunity to make an assessment and look at it and say, well, that works in my organization. My culture is very driven by metrics or whatever the case might be. So I'm really looking forward to that series coming up, Mike. And you know, you're also doing a service virtualization in the testing world. It's in our test strategy, process, and design track. And you know, service virtualization is a big thing happening in testing right now. And you're kind of the support person for the main presenter, and I am going to give you the floor on the presenter's name because I will chop it to smithereens.
he goes by Chokes. His full name is Choke Lingam. I give up on his last name, and I'm really good with those names from my friends from India. But he has a very, very long name, and I'm excited about this because he does our service virtualization both with our CA Lisa tools for virtualization as well as the SOAP UI that we're using in-house. And this guy is a very trained technician who knows this very well. I agreed to, you know, when we talked and we were working with their advisory board to come up with, you know, who needs to be in this, and we need a slot for some service virtualization speaking there. I was very passionate, if you remember, about bringing that in because taking over this group that I'm in, that's one of the roles that I'm responsible for. And what I've seen is so many organizations have a need for that, and they don't even know how much they could use this, you know. And I'll simplify it, and it's much more complicated than what I'm going to simplify it to. But for the audience who may not have ever heard of virtualization or service virtualization, you know, basically, if I've got a full end-to-end test system and I've got, you know, all these services, let's say, for example, I'm in a retail company and I need to process a credit card transaction, but my test is really not to validate the credit card processing. It's actually to validate the receipt I get after I've done a credit card sale. You basically could virtualize that and not have to have all the connections to get your system through your firewall, through the company that you're doing your credit processing with, to their test system and back. You could virtualize that process and that service so that you say, I'm going to do the test. It's going to look like I've gone to the credit card system. I've got it back, and now I'm printing my receipt, and I've validated my test. So, and that's just a simple one that we could use, an example. But there's so many large things. We're looking at mega millions of savings within our organization right now to be able to virtualize many, many services that would allow us to not have to have hardware in place. Go to, you know, basically, if you think about this in your mind, you know, simulation, it's going to a drawer, pulling it out, saying I need that service, and I don't need the hardware to do it. I can virtualize it. And so Chokes is going to talk a lot about that in the meeting. I'm going to, there's another guy there from Parasoft that's going to talk about service virtualization, and I don't want to step into what he's doing because this guy will likely know way more than I could ever imagine. But the other thing that I want this to be more of a, if you come and you want to hear our presentation, this will give you an idea of, if you're in a company and you're not using it, here's why you should. Here's an example of why you should. And then Chokes is going to walk through, here's how we do it today. Here's an example of where you would use SOAP UI or CA Lisa, or maybe even take the tools out of the picture and talk about, here's why you would or would not virtualize this process. So I think I'm really excited. He was thrilled when we asked him to do it because he's been looking to speak at a conference on this very topic, and this kind of opened the door for him, and I felt good to be on the other end of that, because when you guys give me that opportunity to start speaking, it just, you don't know what it did for me, and to be on the other end working with you guys to get him in, it was fantastic.
We love this opportunity, and we're looking forward to meeting Chokes, and I think people will really get a lot out of that session. And speaking of mentoring and assisting with presentations, I was talking with Mark Tomlinson yesterday. We did an interview, and he's part of our advisory board as well, and you and Mark have put together a program at the end of the conference on Thursday. You are going to be offering up practical things that people can do to become a conference speaker, whether that's how to effectively present and communicate ideas, to, you know, body language, to speaking in front of an audience. We're really excited that this will be the first time we're doing that. We're always looking to cultivate new speakers, and having a couple of pros like you and Mark do that, we're looking forward to it. What are some of the things you're going to focus on in that session, Mike?
Well, you know, Mark and I did a and I love Mark. He's got so many great things he's doing. I've followed him. When I moved into performance testing, I had listened to bits and pieces of this Perf Bytes podcast that he does. And when I got into performance testing and was assigned that group officially earlier in the year or last year, I said, I've got to listen to this. And he jokes that I've listened to all of his podcasts on 1.5 speed, and they sound like chipmunks, but I do get their point. And so I've studied them, and one of the things that Mark and I did in the last STP conference was we did a speed geeking on this very topic, and we said this is definitely going to be – we had so many people reach out to us after that. You know, we come up with the back and forth. He would say, here's what you should do if you're speaking about testing, and then I would say, here's what you should do. Examples would be, you know your audience, know what they're coming there for. I used an example, know how to say, sometimes you have to say no, K-N-O-W, not N-O, and explain to people why that they may not get what you're, may not be getting what they're asking for, and you have to clearly explain why they're not getting it. One big thing that we're looking at is understanding the schools of testing. You know, one of the just keynotes on Tuesday is Rex Black and Cam Kaner talking about the schools of testing, anybody attending the conference should definitely listen to that keynote, because you're going to hear two guys from two different spectrums of the schools of testing talking about, are they good, are they not good, what are they, you know, and I think it's going to be very entertaining and very educational for us, and I think we'll use that in our Thursday afternoon last presentation of the day to share with folks, you know, when you're speaking to an audience, you need to know who's there and what school of testing they're signing up for. Because if you're in a room and you're talking about certification, you might want to make sure that you understand whether or not this person is for it or against it. Or if you're talking about metrics, you know, you may still want to prove the value of metrics and make sure it works, but you need to make sure that you know where that person stands, so that when you're talking to them, you know kind of how they feel about the process that you're experimenting with and trying to explain. I think that's there's so many new things out there, so many new topics in testing. Testing's evolving so rapidly right now. You've got context-driven testing, exploratory testing. There's so many great things in that realm alone. So many organizations are not to that point yet, and you've got guys out there begging for people to move in that direction. And I think that's where, if you're wanting to be a speaker, that's a topic you could definitely study and be very good at presenting. But we also, the other thing, and I don't mean to ramble on that for a second, but we want this to be a multi-part series, because the training is not only going to be preparing these guys to speak at STP. You know, here's what you need to do to, if you want to submit an abstract, here's what you need to say, here's what you need to put in there. You need to put in the catchy words, you know, because if I'm going to a conference and I see service virtualization, here it is. You know, if that's the title, I'm not going in that class. But if I see, you know, here's how service virtualization can do this for you, or service virtualization back from the 90s or something like that, it has to be a catchy, you know, I didn't give a good example there, but it has to be a catchy topic, and the description, the summary has to be so succinct that you can really understand, you know, and I think people, when you've done it for so long, Mark and I have done it for so long, and a lot of presenters have done it for so long, you forget that there were days when you didn't know exactly what to say to get selected. And I think we want to help people figure out what are some of the buzzwords and the ways you need to make this, you know, beautiful, so somebody picks it out of a, you know, a whole field of flowers, and yours is the one that's picked. And the last thing here on that is, we also want to make sure that when you go back to your organization and you're talking about testing, how do you sell the new types and the new methodologies and the new processes and that you know your organization doesn't agree with? How do you make them understand what you're trying to convey, and how do you sell them without making it a debate? And so we think that's going to be exciting. And pairing people up with mentors at the end, you know, trying to get people to help other people. You know, people have been doing this for years to help other people kind of grow. And we hope to get some really good topics and some good speakers for the next one.
I'm looking forward to it, and I'm really excited you guys are sharing your expertise, because it really helps STP to expand the perspective in the community by getting more people out there to submit great topics. It's almost like you're giving them some inside scoop, because you understand, being part of the advisory board, how the process works, what we're looking for. So that's going to be some inside baseball that I don't think people will want to miss. You know, it's not just presentations. We're having a little fun down there as well. This year we've added Monday night, the night of the pre-cons. Even if you don't go to a pre-con, we are having a meetup on Monday night in the lobby of the Sheraton. So if you're in town, even if you're not at one of the pre-cons, you are invited to hang out with some of the attendees that will already be there, and any of the speakers that are going to be there early. So we're going to have that. We're also doing a podcast during our lunch expo on Tuesday. Then we have, of course, the Tuesday evening welcome reception. And then, Mike, Wednesday night we're going to try something new. It's called the Amazing Test. Have we figured out the Amazing Test yet? Have we written the test plan on that one, or we just know what kind of drinks we're going to drink that evening?
For sure. I think it will be a test to see how far people can go. Anybody that's seen The Amazing Race, I had this idea at the last conference, and I shared it with you guys on this, because I felt that when you're at a conference like that, I think it's a, you know, there's a TV show, The Amazing Race, and people pair up in groups and they go out and they have to go through certain, you know, obstacle courses and get to the next level, and whoever gets there first gets an award, and then they go to the next one. Our goal is to come up with something exciting where the people can experience New Orleans, but also be part of something where we can track and give us a prize. We're looking at one of our sponsors to possibly give a prize, big or small. We don't know yet what that is, but looking at how we could give a prize to the team that gets through the obstacles the fastest. Maybe it's go to this bar, go to this location, go to this place inside of New Orleans, and your team takes their picture there. We're deciding right now whether we upload it to the STP site or tweet it with an STPCon hashtag. But the goal there is to, you know, based on that timestamp of when they're moving in the different areas, we talked about multiple formats of this, and maybe later we do a different, a longer one where you actually have multiple obstacles and the people inside of these stores and would actually participate with us, but that would take more time. So we're experimenting with it, and we're testing it, so to speak.
Yes, it's going to be a test of the amazing test.
So I think this could become a, you know, this will be the inaugural year of the amazing test, and we'll see how it goes, and maybe the next conference we'll have something, you know. New Orleans is probably a hard place to make people spend a lot of time working on something like that. You take them out to Phoenix where they kind of were out in the middle of, you know, the desert, maybe that would have been better. But we're trying this as an experiment. We're seeing how it goes, and I think it's going to be exciting because, I mean, I think especially if the sponsors pitch in and offer some prizes for maybe first and second, where folks can, you know, get something out of it. But also, we want to kind of keep showing the value of what STP is doing for folks. I mean, this conference is growing, even just in the short time I've been.
Yeah, we appreciate that very much. We only have a few minutes left, Mike. I just wanted to get to your talk. We've talked about doing an upcoming leadership summit, a webinar series with a couple of day webinar series with about six presenters on leadership. Any initial thoughts on anything you want to share with the audience about some of the ideas that you have for that?
I'm definitely very passionate about test management and leadership across the testing organization. You know, you guys have given me the opportunity to do a tutorial last conference on test management where we talked about, are you smarter than a test manager? And we went through some surveys that we took, and we evaluated responses from people in the test management roles. We interviewed some of the big names in testing and got their inputs. And I think it was very eye-opening. I did two tutorials at different conferences on it. But the thing that I'm hoping to do with this summit, and I've already got at least two people lined up for it, is I want to bring in some folks who have some ideas on, you know, there are a lot of folks out there right now that are very passionate about test management, leadership, and how that works. I don't want them to think just inside of the box of a test manager role. I want to think about test leads on the team. I want them to think about how the development team works with it. Scott Barber had some great ideas that he presented at a conference on, you know, how does the whole organization work with the testing team, and looking at it from a different angle. When I was working with you guys on speaking at it from a test manager working with all the other organizations, he was looking at it from how does the PMO work with the testing team and how does the development team. So I'm being very cautious not to quickly line up six people because, you know, when you're in school and you're picking teams, you always want to grab the first six and go. I'm being very meticulous. So if you're out there and you're one of those people that I've already selected, you should feel very privileged because I'm being very picky on who I'm picking for that. But if you're out there and listening and you want to be part of it, I am taking applications and looking at, you know, what is your story? What are you trying to sell? Because I've been to these summits that you guys do from STP, and I love them. I've been to the performance ones. I've been to the automation. And I think it's a great way to have a conference without having to go to a conference. Even though if your company is not going to send you to a conference this year or this, you know, not twice a year, you could sit in on this summit and really gain a lot of information in 6 hours and across 2 days. So we're hoping to really get some. We're looking at doing that in September, and I'm be lining that up and getting these guys to submit their proposals. And like I said, if you guys have my email, it's mikewliles@gmail.com. Drop me an email, drop Rich an email, and he can redirect you to me if you lose my email. But, you know, I'm looking for some great ideas on people who are passionate about the leadership part of test management and testing organizations and how we can make things better.
And I'm really looking forward to it. And as Mike said, you can contact him or me at rhand@softwaretestpro.com. Mike, I have one final question here, which I wanted to make sure I got this in because it's a very relevant testing question. As many people may or may not know, you love a good Long Island iced tea, and if your mom's listening, I suggest she plug her ears right now. But you do enjoy a Long Island iced tea. So if you're at a conference and a bar uses a mixing machine to make your Long Island iced tea, is that considered automation?
I think that is automation. manually putting it together would definitely be, you know, I would try it. I definitely would try it if it was automated that way.
I just wanted to end on a light note because I just enjoy getting together with you so much, and I am looking forward to hanging out with you down in New Orleans coming up in April 14th through the 17th, and you're going to be down there the whole time. You're going to be available in the corridors as well, not only in the presentation rooms, but you always make yourself accessible. So is it fair to say that please just come up and introduce yourself, say hello, and you know, start a conversation about testing or Long Island iced teas, whatever floats the boat.
Or the 80s, you just, you know.
Oh, we'll the
have
80s.
A Rubik's Cube, and if you know how to solve a Rubik's Cube, I definitely am going to look for those people at this keynote. So.
Was Cabbage Patch 80s?
It was. Yes. I've been told the Sony Walkman was 79, but I'm still probably going to talk about it.
It got famous in the 80s, or it flooded the market in the 80s. Mike,
I will tell you the last thing. I always wanted to use the Kenny Rogers, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. And I've heard that The Gambler was 1979 as well, so I hate that.
But, you know, it came out then. But, you know, those hits, you know, that's kind of a borderline issue. I think if it fits, you should use it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't know if anybody will test whether or not you're using all we're at a testing conference. I guarantee if you use something that was from 79 or 91 or 90, you're going to get called on it.
Lots of good things came from 79, for sure.
That's for sure. Mike, I want to thank you for taking the time out today and joining us on STP Radio, and looking forward to seeing you, and keep an eye out, everyone, for all the things that Mike's doing, not only at STP, but throughout the community. He is out there everywhere sharing his stories and his valuable expertise. Thanks again, Mike. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
We'll see you in New Orleans. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us on STP Radio. That ends today's podcast with Mike Lyles, the senior QA manager at Lowe's Company, upcoming keynote speaker, and all things STP Con in New Orleans. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.